Good morning. Greet you all in Jesus' precious name this morning on this beautiful new Lord's Day. For a few thoughts this morning, I'm going to start with a question, something for you to think about. Are you adopted this morning? And if you are, what does that mean? I suppose all of you Bible scholars can read. And you know it's the only way into the kingdom of heaven, and so in some way, at least, you can give token assent to the fact that you're adopted. But what does that mean this morning? Well, in the word adoption, it means two things at the same time. Adoption means there was a loss, and that means there was a gain. What did you lose to become adopted? What did you gain? There's three aspects that each of us share. We all have a biological dad and mother. We all have a legal dad and mother. We all have a dad and mother who raised us. And in order of importance to our ongoing eternal well-being, it's really the last one that's most important. You know, in eternity, it really doesn't matter who your biological parent was. It doesn't even matter 5 minutes after conception who that was. Your legal parent is, you know, that lasts through life, whoever your legal mom or dad is. But the mom and dad who mentors you, raise you, is that lasts into eternity. And even if you're like me and it was my mom and my biological mom and dad who raised me, mentored me, that's still a choice. My dad, my mom, didn't have to. Obviously, many, many parents choose not to stay engaged in their offspring's life. But my mom and dad did. And each one of you that have the parent who mentored you is. And that's the important relationship in your life. So I want to talk about that a little bit. And if you think about it, that choice that they made to raise you, to be engaged in your life, is a very important choice to you. And then what you do with that choice is a very important aspect of your adoption story. So I'm going to look for just a little bit at the master adoption. You know, Joseph was a righteous man, and he had, I would suspect, dare to say that he had a hands-off courtship. He was morally upright, and while he was dating his bride-to-be, she was found to be with child. And this was a big deal then, just like it would be today. And Joseph, being a righteous man, he thought about putting her away quietly. How does he get out of this situation? And he had something kind of special happen to him. He had an angel come visit him, and we envy that. But the angel told him, Joseph, what's happening is of the Lord. Just play this game out. And so it says Joseph took him in and loved him. So we see Joseph giving up his personal will and doing the will of his heavenly Father. Well, we break into the story when they're at the temple, and Jesus is there, and he's 11 years old, and he's a young boy, and he's visiting with the doctors, and he's got the doctors on the bench, and he's enjoying himself, and his mom and dad leave to go home, and they figure out that, well, he's not with grandpa and grandma, he's not with the aunts and uncles. He's not with his friends. Where on earth is Joseph? And they turn around and rush back. And they get back there, and Joseph says, and Jesus tells them, well, you know I'm special and I'm here doing my Father's business. And Joseph and Mary tell him, you know, Jesus, you're still just a little boy. You need to just come home with us. And you need to wait. And everybody who's young, like me, knows what it's like to wait. And it's not the funnest thing, but Jesus bowed himself, and he went home, and it says he was subject unto him. You know, the years roll around, and Jesus is down there at the river, and John the Baptist is there, and John says, you know, and Jesus says, John, you need to baptize me. And Jesus goes through that symbolic, very symbolic act. He's coming up out of the water, and we see God himself on the wings of a dove send down this message. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we see God the Father depicting his choice to adopt Jesus. We see his commitment to Jesus' life in that little saying, in whom I am well pleased. And as a few more years roll around, Jesus is at a wedding, and we all were just at a wedding. We didn't run out of anything, but they ran out of wine. And Jesus' mother brings the servers there, and she says, Jesus, these guys ran out of wine. You need to do something about it. And Jesus knew what this meant, and he said, Mom, I don't want to do this. I just want to be a carpenter. And Mary didn't even argue. She just said to the servers, just do what he says to do. And we see Jesus becoming, at that point, starting his earthly ministry. So his parents released him to do his earthly ministry. And then we follow Jesus' life story through. And we keep following Jesus' life, and it's a very important story to each of us personally. And in Luke chapter 22, we find Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this is when Jesus has to make his choice. And for just a minute, you know, if you close your eyes or you just think for a minute, what the darkest moment in your life is. You know, I don't know what it was. I know what some were for me. You know, maybe you carried that baby to full term and God decided it needed to go home. Maybe you are looking at down the barrel of cancer. Maybe your child is that you've raised and tried your best to speak into their life has decided to walk away. Maybe you've have been asked to go serve somewhere in some country or something that makes you uncomfortable. Maybe you're a minister and you have preached and you have tried your best to get the congregation on board with something that you see is just terribly important for the ongoing work of the church, and you know you lose the vote and you think it's going to be devastating, and you're looking at that choice now. Here you are in your garden. And it says that in verse 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from the prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. In your personal story, when you're in your Garden of Gethsemane, when it's just you and God and you're wrestling with whether or not you have to, take your will and put it up there on that cross. Most of us, if not all of us at that moment, are very alone. And this is what it means to be adopted. If you can choose at that moment to take your will and put it on that cross and allow God to use you, then for his kingdom, then you will understand what it means to be adopted. Because God has chosen you. In John 3:16 it says that he sent his Son for whosoever will. So he's done his part. So the question to all of us this morning is, Are we doing our part? Can we pray now?
Sure.
Okay, let's stand for prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, this morning, we thank you for the path that you have set up for us, the choice that we're allowed to make to take our will and put it on the cross, to truly choose to be part of your kingdom and whatever that means to us. And for each one this morning that's in the garden, in their Garden of Gethsemane, where they're wrestling, we just pray that you would send an angel and strengthen them. Thank you for the church and what it means to be part of the church to each one of us. And help us in this time of prosperity, in this best of worst times, that we would be a light, a solid rock against the world, and that those that are lost, losing the sight of the shore, can come and be part of us. Just be with the service this morning. Be with each one who takes part. Bless their words. Be with each one of us as we listen, and help us to hear and understand better your will for our life. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.